Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, my guest today is Kristen of Kristen Ratten Content Services, and she primarily serves her clients through the creation of optimized blogs, website copy, and email campaigns. She's passionate about crafting excellent, high-performing content for her clients so that they can focus on what they love to do in their businesses. Thanks so much for joining us today, Kristen.
Thank you. Good morning. It's fun to be here.
Absolutely. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sounds good.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I am super passionate about helping small businesses. I have a huge, huge love for small businesses and micro businesses. Before owning this content writing business, well, and still currently, I also own a Montessori preschool. So I've been a business owner for a long time, just in two very different realms. So I just have always been super, super passionate about small businesses, micro businesses, local businesses. So the writing business, the content writing, allows me to support those businesses who need help with their content, help with their marketing strategy, and just need help crafting their story to get their voice out there. As you know, usually solopreneurs and micro businesses, small businesses, a lot of times you're just trying to do so many things, and a lot of people really hate writing.
Yes, really hate writing. it's a gift. Yeah. I think, you know, if you're a great writer, it's such an amazingly powerful skill to have.
Yeah, and I just see a lot of businesses were ignoring that part of their marketing because they're intimidated by it or just flat out don't have the time for it. So being able to help them get their voice and story out there is really exciting for me.
Absolutely. So how did you get into copywriting?
By accident. I, about 4 years ago, made a very offhanded comment to a friend of mine in a networking group. At the time, I only owned my school, and I made a comment about the fact that I missed writing. When I was in college, I was a journalism major before I decided I wanted to teach, and I've always loved writing. Like, I was the nerd in high school that liked the big 10-page research papers and all of that. So she happened to be a marketing expert that I mentioned that to, and it was really just an offhanded comment. That's all it was. And the next day she connected me with someone who owned a content writing firm and was looking for more writers. And that's how it started. That woman trained me and I learned a ton from writing for her. I literally, until that point, did not know that a lot of what you read online was not written by the person whose name is attached to it. I didn't know that content writing was a thing at that point. So it was a huge learning curve when I first started, but super exciting. I couldn't believe I was getting paid to write like I always thought I would someday. And so it was just a big, exciting thing. And then when I saw the results and what it was doing for small businesses and how impactful it was just, it was really fun. And I ended up getting connected to more and more people that needed help. And now it's grown to the point that actually this next year will be my last year teaching and writing will be my full-time business. So it's really fun.
So you got referred to work for a content writing company. Yes. And then so when did you transition into starting Kristen Ratten Content Services?
Probably within about 6 to 9 months of working with them, because I was a contractor for them, I had to set up some pieces as a contractor to be my own business.
Okay.
For them.
Yep.
So doing that, and they were totally fine with all of us writers having other clients, as long as we weren't competing with them. They were very open to that. I can never thank them enough for how much they allowed us to grow and taught me all the things that anything I was interested in learning.
Yeah.
So it just grew enough that then I was talking with a friend who designs websites, and she said, "You kind of need a website." And I was like, "That's crazy. Why would I need a website?" But she built one for me very kindly. And I think that launched September of 2019 was the official launch of the website. So I kind of feel like that was like my birth into the world as Kristen Ratten Content Services, even though I'd been doing it for a while before that. But
right. Okay. Awesome. And then, so how do you differentiate yourselves from other copywriters out there?
I love people's stories. I love to hear people's stories and understand where they're coming from, why they got where they are, who they like to serve. My husband says I can talk to anyone, anywhere, whether I've ever met them before or not. I just love to hear what people's stories are. It's really fascinating to me. And I think that comes through then when I'm writing for them. Mm-hmm. I consistently, people tell me, "I can't believe you got my voice. Like, I can't believe you figured out how to make this sound like I wrote it." So I spend a lot of time with clients before I start writing to literally hear their voice, hear the phrases they use, hear how they talk, hear what they're excited about. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big piece of it, that I just really like people and their stories. And so I really take all of that to heart when I'm writing for them.
Okay, interesting. So I know that you have some agencies who you work with. Mm-hmm. So how are you able to get the small businesses? How are you able to really learn about their voice when you're working for an agency?
Yes, that is a great question, because that has been a learning curve too, because I'm used to talking to the clients beforehand. So for some agencies, they do bring me in on those calls. So I will we'll have a call scheduled with the client specifically to talk about the content and really dive into those voice things and the tone. So that's super helpful when we can do it that way, but that's not always possible. Mm-hmm. So the two of the agencies in particular that I pair with have tremendous onboarding systems for their clients, and they gather so much information about their clients' personality, the kind of music they like to listen to, the colors they're drawn to, like anything and everything about them,
that
really paints a picture for me as the writer to understand how they sound.
Yeah.
I still often will hop on like a 15 or 20 minute call with the client if they're available to just, you know, if there's anything I need to fine tune or I'm unsure about. But really those agency owners that I've partnered with have an excellent, excellent onboarding process and fabulous client briefs and project briefs that really give me a ton of information. So that's super helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes so much sense. That's really interesting. So what would you say has been the biggest challenge that you've had with just growing your company?
Oh, so many. I think part of it was I didn't anticipate it being a company. I said, with my, you know, my starting point wasn't, I think I want to do this as a job or start a business as this. It was a very random connection from a comment that I made to someone. So I was not prepared for what it could turn into at all.
Yeah.
Not even remotely prepared for what it could turn into. So that was a big hurdle to suddenly realize I need to go. I had to backtrack and put pieces in place. And I'm still kind of, there are still some pieces that I'm like, okay, now I realize I need this piece. And obviously would have done it differently if the intention had been, this is going to be a business.
Yep.
At the same time, I maybe never would have done it if I was trying to get, you know, make some specific business and have all the pieces in place ahead of time. I might have stopped myself and put up my own roadblocks. So the way it happened worked out, but it did create extra work that I've kind of had to go back and figure out, particularly during COVID, when COVID hit and everything shut down, what I thought was going to happen was, oh, nobody's going to want to invest in content because they don't have any income coming in now. You know, like everything just went bonkers.
Yeah.
But it was the exact opposite, that everybody who had never had a digital presence suddenly needed one. And so I had more work than I could keep up with. And that was when it really became obvious that there were pieces I needed to back up and get in place if I wanted it to grow. And that was kind of when I realized, oh, this can grow. This is a thing. So.
Yeah. So how do you connect with the small business owners who you do business with? How do you bring more leads into your business?
So far, it has been 100% referral based.
Interesting.
Which is really exciting. And I feel really blessed by that.
Yeah.
It initially started with a networking group here called the Mob Nation, M-O-B for mom-owned businesses. That's actually who it was. Our chief marketing officer of the Mob is the person that I made that comment to way back when. And
yep.
Then she connected me with another woman that was in the Mob that doesn't even live in my town. But, you know, it didn't matter because this is all digital. And so that's how it grew. And that initially, all of my clients were within that networking group. It has about 10 or 11,000 women nationwide here in the States. Then from there, it just grew like through other Facebook groups, other networking groups. There, I would just get tagged in different groups. And at some point, some of these agency owners found me. I don't actually know specifically how, other than it was within one of those Facebook groups. I'm not sure who the actual tag came from or who the actual referral came from, but it was just within these marketing Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really it. I'm not the best social media user, so I try periodically to make sure I'm getting content out on social media, but it's not my favorite. So I can't say that is driving my business. not at the moment, but yeah, so it's really been referral based and it just those intentional relationships in those networking groups, being able to offer support and input and tips when someone has a question, not because you're trying to make a sale, but just because you actually have something to offer. And eventually mm-hmm. people just remember, oh, this person seemed to know what she was talking about, so let's try connecting with her.
Yeah. So what would you say is your bread and butter services?
Blog subscriptions.
Blog subscriptions.
Yes,
interesting.
I think blogs are a small business owner's superpower because it's a way you can differentiate yourself from the really big names out there. You know, you're not going to have the same ad budget that big companies in your space have, and trying to rank for those broad keywords that those giant companies are spending tens of thousands of dollars to rank for is not what micro businesses and small businesses can do. But
yeah.
In their blogs, you can be super specific, super niche, really find things that speak to your audience and really set yourself up as an authority in what you do and who you are and how you serve people. So they're so, you can use them in so many different ways and repurpose them so many different ways, and they're highly valuable for rankings. So that's definitely what most clients want is a blog subscription. They can set it and forget it. They don't have to think about it. They just have to approve the topic before I write it, and then they approve the content before I publish it on their website. So other than that, they're pretty hands-off, which is a popular thing when you're a business owner. You can
yes.
let something go.
Absolutely. And then, so what about the agencies that you work with? What is your most popular services with the agencies that you work with?
For the agencies, it's almost all website rewrites or rebranding or a brand new website, something with web copy. So it's usually the homepage, about page, services page. And most agency clients also choose, I offer a blog starter pack that's just for shorter blogs so that they have some long form content on their site when it launches.
Yep.
And then they can decide if they want to keep going along those lines with me, or if they want to handle it on their own or whatever, but they at least have something to help get, especially when it's a brand new site, to get it ranking and make sure they're visible online to their audience.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. And then, so I'd love to talk a little bit about productivity. So do you have any productivity hacks to help save you time as an entrepreneur?
That is definitely something I'm working on. I am someone who will have 40 tabs open at one time when I'm working. I think that's part of why I love writing blogs, is I love, again, that geek in me. I love the research. I will dig and dig and dig till I'm so far away from what the original topic was, which is why I never charge by the hour when I'm writing. Because I will start digging and go down those rabbit holes. So I really like Loom for when I need to record something to send to someone and so that I can take something off my plate. I can record how I do it, send it to my husband, or even my daughter can do a lot of these tasks for me. So Loom has saved me quite a bit because I can just get it recorded, send it off, and then I'm not doing that task anymore because I've just shown someone else how to do it.
Yep.
So that is definitely one. My biggest productivity hack that I did was, because I work from home, even my school is in my home, the classroom is built onto my house. I have four teenagers. My husband has a different schedule than I do, so he's often home during the day. So I rented a flex office space. That's my biggest productivity hack, was finding a spot that, one or two days a week, I can just go and not be thinking about the laundry I should be doing, or do I need to run to the grocery store, or any of those sorts of things that we tend to do when we're at home.
Yeah.
So that helped a lot. I can get way more done when I go there, close that door, and just go into business mode.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Very interesting. So knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would have done differently when you were first starting out?
Yes. There's someone I follow online here in Portland named Karanda Adair. She owns Carvel Digital Marketing. And she always says, begin as you mean to go on, meaning, set everything up the way you anticipate you're going to want to be doing it 10 years from now, as much as possible. I definitely did not do that. So that's what I would have done. But again, the situation was that I didn't realize it was going to turn into something. So, but yes, I definitely would go back and at least, probably have a VA on hand immediately and start working on which tasks could be handed off to someone else instead of trying to do it all myself. I'm a very type A personality. It's really hard for me to delegate and hand things off to people still. Yep. So that probably would have been my biggest thing that I wish I had done differently, was get support, professional support right at the beginning and start offloading tasks before I got myself to a point where I think I'm the only one that can do it, because I'm not.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You never want to be a bottleneck to your own company. Yep. So yeah, finding that VA and that support for your company early on. Yeah. So smart. So where do you see Kristen Ratten Content Services in 5 years time?
It's funny because it seems so far away and so immediate at the same time. Our oldest daughter is graduating high school. She just graduated last weekend. So I feel like time has this whole new meaning to me of how fast things are going. So
yeah.
5 years from now, I have toyed with really growing into an agency. Mm-hmm. I'm not sold yet that is for sure the direction I want to go. But what I do know for sure I want to be doing is having some courses and coaching and training available for other people that want to do what I do, that want to become content writers and be in this content marketing space, because it's been such a huge blessing to me to be able to have this income and this. I love it. It's exciting to me to do the work. And somebody gave that to me when I didn't even know it was a thing. So I would love to really have some good things in place to help other people learn how to do this and make money and have income and grow it if they want to. Maybe just have it be a side hustle, whatever. That would be really exciting to me to be able to teach other people how to do it so that they can have that same freedom.
Yeah, very cool that you plan on, paying that forward. Someone gave that to you and then you want to pass that on to up and coming entrepreneurs.
Yes, absolutely. I would love to be able to get in front of even high school and college kids, because this is legit work that they can do from anywhere and live wherever they want to live and do what they want to do and make money. So
yeah, definitely
be really exciting.
Very good. So we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions.
All right.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
I thought about this a whole lot. And one that did make an impact, even though I haven't followed it 100%, is Profit First. I liked the idea of shifting how you think about your revenue and your income. And it was just really empowering to shift the way I look at it and think about it. So yeah, that was a big one to me. And like I said, I haven't fully followed every step in it, but changing how I think about my income and revenue was really empowering.
Okay, very good. And what does your morning routine look like?
It can be all over the place with those aforementioned four teenagers. But I'm kind of an early bird. I typically am up pretty early, between 5:30 and 6. Sometimes I'm taking our son to jazz band practice that early in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But so it's kind of all over the place, but I'm definitely someone that has to like get up and take a shower immediately and get my coffee immediately. And once those two things have happened, then I can kind of be ready for whatever that day is going to bring. There's so many different schedules between the kids that it's different every day. But as long as I've had my shower, had my coffee, I'm in good shape.
Awesome. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I love Megan Hale. Really love her. She's a money mentor, and she has a program called Feel Good Money. And she's just really all about empowering entrepreneurs to step into their financial wisdom, power, excellence, abundance, all of these things, but with super practical steps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's like the queen of spreadsheets and Excel files, and you get all these awesome templates that help you really track your goals with your revenue and all of these things. And she's super, super all about equity, inclusion. She does a 2% challenge where if you sign up for it, you're agreeing that you're giving up to at least 2% of your revenue to causes that support equity and inclusion. You get to pick what they are, but it's just this, it's just a really special way that she works with people and encourages us as entrepreneurs of how we're being intentional with our revenue and with our income in our communities. So yeah, she's one of my favorites.
Okay, very cool. And what is your favorite online tool?
Airtable currently is my favorite. I love Airtable. I use it for all kinds of things.
What do you use Airtable for?
Primarily project management right now.
Okay.
It's where I track all of my clients and their subscriptions and which blogs are due to them and which pieces are due to them and what emails I've sent to them. And so I thought it was kind of a glorified spreadsheet, but it actually does way more than I realized it could do. And it's where I can track my onboarding process and track my own social media posts that I've put out. And that's currently my go-to that I use every day without fail. I'm in Airtable.
Okay, interesting. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Well, in my particular situation, I probably wish I'd known it was going to turn into a business, because as I said, I would have changed a few things. But I think also just knowing I didn't have to do it all. That's definitely something that's still a work in progress, that some things I need to hand off, some things I need to say aren't important enough to even be part of this, and just let it slide and not chase every shiny new object. All the ideas that pop into my head, you know, to really hone in on that focus and stick with that and not feel like I have to do all the things.
Yeah, I think that's really great advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kristen. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you so much. This was fantastic. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.